GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Tommy Walsh.
Nathan, how are you doing?
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good now.
What was your nickname in the Kilkenny camp?
I didn't have one.
Didn't need one.
They weren't brave enough.
No nickname, thank God.
So we got a cracking weekend of hurling, yet again. We say it every Thursday now because the new championship is brilliant for us neutrals. So two games in Leinster, two games in Munster. In Leinster on Saturday evening, it is Wexford against Galway. Wexford who've won their opening game. Galway 2-2. That's at 5 o'clock at Wexford Park. And then on Sunday, it is the big one, really, because it's Dublin against Offaly, both of them looking for their first win. Essentially, we feel the losers are going to go down to the Joe McDonagh Cup. So that one throws in at 3 o'clock at Parnell Park. And in the Munster Championship, two unbeaten sides meet on Saturday evening at Páirc Uí Chaoimh. It's Cork against Limerick. And then on Sunday at 4 o'clock at the Gaelic Grounds, it is Waterford, who were beaten heavily the last day by Clare against Tipperary side, which is 1 point from their opening two games. We might start on Waterford against Tip, Tommy, if that's all right with you, because it is last year's beaten All-Ireland finalist against the 2016 champions, and whoever loses this is going to have an absolute mountain to climb if they're to reach the knockout stages of the All-Ireland Championship. And Waterford have just been decimated by injuries. Austin Gleeson, Pádraig Mahony, Tadhg Burke, Barry Collin, Dara Fives, Noel Connors, Maurice Shanahan, all likely to miss the game. In fact, only five of the team that played in last year's All-Ireland final were on the pitch at the end of the game against Clare. What do you do if you're in that sort of dressing room where you are decimated by injury? What can a coach do to make sure that the heads don't drop, that you can go into this game with some sort of belief that you can actually win it?
Yeah, well, I think I was talking to a friend of mine earlier on today, and he was asking me, do I think Waterford have any chance? And I was saying, no, I think it's gone. And I was trying to explain it by way of saying, like, their full-back is gone, Barry Collin. Their centre-back is gone, Tadhg Burke. Their best midfielder, we'll say, Kevin Moran, is gone. Austin Gleeson, if he was number 11, say, from last year. And 14, young Bennett, Shane Bennett. So, like, you the take the whole spine out of any team, and it's going to be very, very, very difficult. But then he was saying to me, well, listen, look at it from the other way. Because, like, the great teams and the great players, Nathan, they look at things differently. They always see themselves have a chance. So if you're Waterford, like, the pressure that has been on them, because they had no momentum coming from the league, they tried out a few things, it didn't work. And basically coming into this, everyone was wondering, where are Waterford at? Are they going through this kind of second year-itis, which some players would go through? Maybe a team after a great run would go through, always trying to reach the heights of the past, right? So suddenly now all these injuries are here, which obviously they don't want. So I think it could be, listen, it's not a good thing, but if you're to look at any positive in it, you'd say, right, lads, listen, basically everyone is writing us off here. Or, you know, seven or eight of our players are gone. Let's just go out and just hurl, like he did as young lads, like he did when you won the Under-21 All-Ireland, like you do with your clubs. And maybe we'll see a Waterford team come with, Austin Gleeson often talked about the pressure, say, that he felt last year after being hurler of the year the previous year. Like, I would imagine all these Waterford players now, there's nobody giving them a prayer, not even a chance. They might just come out and just hurl. And, like, you look at the team, I was looking at their players beforehand. You still have the likes of Colin Dunford, Patrick Curran, Maurice Shanahan, Pádraig O'Mahony. You know, he's 50-50 whether he comes back or not. You know, he's a tough player, all these Ballygunner lads are. They won four or five county finals in a row there in Waterford. Like, they're made of great stuff. So I'm looking at these lads. Listen, it's going to be tough for them, but I think it could be a great chance to rally the troops here, Nathan, and say, listen, lads, let's just go hurl and forget about everything else.
Well, forget about everything else, but I wonder, with the 15 that goes on the pitch, is it going to be the same tactics, the same style that we've seen over the last couple of seasons, which I know you feel was never going to be enough to win them an All-Ireland final? From what you saw last week from the players that were on the pitch, are they committing more men forward? Are you seeing any change from Derek McGrath?
Yeah, well, you see, he's committed to that style. Now, they evolve, like Jimmy McGuinness did with Donegal, and it's not just a case of one lad sits back. Like, we've seen it right throughout the league. Tadhg Burke, when he actually won the ball and laid it off, he was gone sprinting down the field. You could see him midfield, centre-forward. So it definitely has evolved in that. They're not just doing the same thing all the time. They are attacking. Like, It's like the football. When they are attacking, they are attacking. There's no problem with that. It's just when they are defending, they just have so many guys back. So, listen, I think, like, they've two sweepers gone now. So, it depends on how they would have trained up along. Like, I would doubt it very much if they could see into the future and say, listen, if Tadhg Na Bhfhirca was gone, we'd say, listen, we have Dara Fives. But I'd be very doubtful maybe that they were really looking that far ahead to say, what if Fives is gone as well? Who are we going to play sweeper? So, like, you know, Conor Gleeson, like, I don't even know who they play as the sweeper in that back line. Like, the rest of them are nearly just hurlers where they take on their man and win that battle. You know, Kevin Moore maybe would have been a choice if he had to be around, but I don't see really anyone else that could take on that role as a sweeper. So I think his hand might be forced come Sunday, and it might be just a case of... The other thing I would say, Nathan, is the one team I always felt were able to really beat the sweeper was this Tipperary team. They just seemed to have it. Whatever way they played, I never studied in great detail. It seemed to be that they nearly played the corners. They kept it out of the middle. And instead of the ball breaking, the likes of John McGrath, the likes of, we'll say, Callanan or Bubbles or whoever is in the other corner, used to be able to win the ball firsthand, so there was no breaks. And there was plenty of space. Like, we all know the Tipperary halfbacks, the two Mars, Brendan Maher is back there now. They're well able to give great diagonal ball. Mm. So it might be a case of, listen, it hasn't worked against this Tipperary team especially. We don't have really an out-and-out third sweeper. So they might be forced to go out and just play kind of a more traditional style.
Surely, Tommy, though, if you were to face the tip team, we'll say, that played Limerick or played the first half against Cork, you'd say, you know, we've half a chance here. These lads are a little bit out of sorts, but it looked like the second half just was the transformation of their season maybe that they needed. And you'd imagine they'll go up another ante in Watford. It'll be like, geez, if we fall 5 or 6 points behind here in the first half, we're on a hiding, basically.
Yeah, and you can't think like that, really, I suppose. I seen Martin Brettany talking about it during the week. It was regards to football. I think it was the Kildare footballers and maybe the Armagh footballers. Just in relation to, you know, looking at every little detail. That sometimes the first thing you have to actually do is just go for it. So it's grand getting every detail right if you're going for it as well. Like, there's no point in having, you say, your shot accuracy at 100%. There's no point in having your know where to exactly hit the ball, know where to be when the ball comes, if you don't actually go for it. Mm. The first thing you have to do is go for it. So I'd be thinking, like, that was a huge example for me for Tipperary last weekend. Like, Tipperary, as we all know, can make the ball talk. But maybe they were trying to be... think about it too much. Maybe they're trying to give too good a ball last weekend, and they forgot the number one thing you have to be to be a good hurler, the number one thing you have to be to be a good team, is to have the courage, to have the bravery, to have the freshness, that when the ball comes in Championship, inter-county especially, you don't have time to think. Hmm. You have to just go. So the ball is barely struck from an opponent or from your own half back line, you're gone. So I didn't see that in the Tipperary performance in the first half. You see John McGrath. Like, John McGrath, to me, is a stylist. He's one of, you know, a great club man again for Lochmore, like his brother Noel, and plays phenomenally, and with the footballers as well. But you see John McGrath in that second half. He was shoving lads around the place. And, you know, even in the last, the cornerback for Cork, he had a great game. He's a great cornerback. His name slips my mind at the moment, but he's having a great season. But he just went down. He only missed the raise once, you know, and he did everything right in fairness to him. But in McGrath came, was out of the way you go, lays it off to the sub and over the bar. So I think for Tipperary, if they play like they did in the second half, whereas, like, don't even talk about how to play the game. Yeah. Them lads will hurl anywhere and they turn on a sixpence. Mm. So I'd say to them guys, lads, first thing is, if you're not giving it socks in this first 5 minutes, you're coming off. And I don't care if you hit 10 mites. I don't care if you're not winning the ball. Just go for it. And we see what Tipperary did in that second half.
Do those Tip lads, do they know in training this weekend, it's probably very different, the style of training, considering the games are coming quick and fast, whether their season is the first half or the second half? I'm just thinking Vincent Hogan had a brilliant line as well at the weekend saying, what happened next at halftime? Tipperary came back and remember themselves. That's all. It's that plain and unscientific and thoroughless. They didn't just rein in Cork's 9-point lead through tactic or any complex system adjustment. That it was all or nothing at that stage, as you say. They just had to go out and do it. But now they have to go and do it again 7 days later. Do you have a sense when you go into training on Tuesday whether you're the first 35 minutes or whether you're the second 35 minutes, that that's the level of performance you're at?
Well, I think that they're really, you know, they're really great teams and they're really good teams even. Like, the only thing you really have to do is question them. Now, not question them in a kind of a complaint, like you're complaining the whole time, but question them with a bit of substance. And not that you're down them or you're trying to drain their confidence, but question them in a positive way that you're going to get the best out of them. So I reckon in that dressing room at half-time, at that Tipperary team, individually and collectively, I'd say Michael Ryan questioned them big time. Now, listen, I don't know, but I'd imagine if I was in that dressing room, that's what I would do with a team that was hurling the way they were hurling. And if someone questioned you, when you've that, say, skill, when you've that, like, all these guys are winners. Like, they've won All-Ireland, they've won club championships. Some of them have mightn't have won Munster, but club championships. But these guys are winners, underage as well. So all you have to do is get it back out of them. So I reckon Michael Ryan questioned these guys, and I reckon he'll question them again. I'd say he'll say to them, lads, I don't care how you play against Waterford. I don't care whether you get to the Munster final or not. I want to see, do we have a rootlessness about yourselves? Do we have lads that are going to die with their boots on? And, you know, I think he'll get the answer because it's in these boys, and I think they will do it. Now, the thing about them is they're playing against a Waterford team that I think will come the very same way from a different, probably, angle. They will hurl like that because I think the pressure is just off them now because of so many injuries.
A fortnight ago, we were wondering whether maybe Jason Ford had taken on the mantle from Seamus Callanan as the sort of marquee forward for Tipperary. But over the last couple of weeks, and particularly last weekend, John McGrath is the man who has really stepped up. And you touched on almost his defensive work, which I know you love from a forward, in the second half, and really leading the line defensively from the forward line and battling away and making it difficult for the defenders to clear the ball. But just his range of scoring as well, and the way he seems to have a bit of freedom to float around the park. Like, as a defender, how do you counteract that? How do you mark somebody like John McGrath?
Oh, I'd say get a sweeper back to give you a hand.
So you're saying Waterford should get the two sweepers in?
Well, I'm just thinking selfishly now as a selfish action. If I was marking John McGrath, it mightn't be for the good of the team. But listen, John McGrath was always my kind of lad. I liked him. I saw him a few years ago in a league match against Kilkenny down in Nolan Park. And he was absolutely brilliant. Just regards, I love the guy that wins his own ball, whether he's a small guy, a big guy. Can do all the fundamentals right. That's what I just love that. And I always hear about his performances with Lochmore as well. And he's supposed to be brilliant himself and Noel with them as well. So John McGrath, like how do you hurl him? I think with these great players like him, like he's a step above. Like you have good players, you have very good players, and then you've really, really the top guys. He's the real top guy, right? So I think with them guys, you just have to nearly, you know, take it that, listen, most days, say 7 or 8 days out of 10, this lad is going to score 3 or 4 points, or he's going to score 1, 2. And it's just, don't let your head go down. He's going to score this, and you just take him on and hopefully wear him down. And at the end of the day, what he contributes won't be enough because everyone else will be doing their stuff. And if you're having a good day, maybe you will keep him scoreless or whatever. But John McGrath is just, he's just a brilliant player. Like, he knows, like, I've seen a bit of analysis on him there during the week, and I'm not sure where I saw it. It was some sort of a heat map, and it was just showing it's his ability to think. Like, he's so cool on the big stage that he's not going to run around the place, say, 100 mile an hour and into dead ends. This guy just knows where to be at the right time. And I think he proved that in the second half the other day. But, you know, he might have had that chance only for his brother. Was after putting in such a shift in the first half, came out early in the second half winning frees. So he's only as good as the lads around him. Like, you can see if Tipperary aren't going very well, it's going to be hard for him to star as well. So it's a team effort, but he's definitely one of the stars, and will be, I'd say, one of the stars of the summer.
We'll have Jamesy O'Connor at the Gaelic Grounds for Waterford against Tipperary on Sunday. We'll have Dahi Regan at Parnell Park for Dublin against Offaly. Tommy, for Offaly, it's a fourth week in a row, and it looked as though 3 weeks in a row was too much with the beating they took from Wexford. They lost a couple of players through suspension as well. Do you see any way, with what you've seen from the two teams in the Championship so far, that Offaly can muster something within them to challenge Dublin?
Well, you see, Offaly, I said it at the start of the campaign about Offaly that I thought, it's a hard one to juggle. I felt that the just schedule went against them. That Galway in their first match, you know, we all see how good Galway are now. Kilkenny in the second match, you know, no matter what you say about Kilkenny, I know they're very young, but they're league champions and they came in great form into the championship. So their schedule was very, very tough. So I felt Kevin Martin's biggest job was go for them wins, but at the same time, make sure the guy's confidence stays at a high level like it was in the league for the last two matches. Now, unfortunately, we all saw what happened in Tullamore, and it looked like that the 3 weeks was after catching up with him because, you know, a few sendings off for maybe just tackles that were maybe a little bit late, and they're a bit, probably a little bit harsh too, the sendings off. But I think the schedule is just after going against Offaly. Now, the only thing I would say is, like, no matter how well you're playing, Aiton, the toughest thing and the hardest thing to get over, especially when you're kind of an underdog, it's different when you're a champion. It can kind of revive you. But when you're an underdog trying to get your first win, it can deflate you. So although they had great performances against Kilkenny, great performances against Wexford, nearly, like I think someone said during a few weeks ago, if the game was a 65-minute game, Dublin could be in the Leinster final. Like, that's how small the margins are. So I think they're coming in, both of them are coming in maybe with confidence maybe a little bit low. So it's like a relegation final. I played in two or three of them below in Kilkenny myself, and you're in the relegation finals for a reason. And I think it'll be just, it'll be nothing in it. I think so.
Do you know, I just have a small worry about Offaly. I was at the game against Galway, and obviously they hurled so well against Kilkenny. Like, if they take a hiding this weekend, you know, where has this campaign actually gone for them? Because it did. There's plenty of promise there. They showed a lot of heart, some good players. Like, where are they actually going if they get a hiding at the weekend?
Well, I think it's all about the leadership, and Kevin Martin has shown just brilliant. Like, you can't beat guys from your own place taking it on because they live for it. You know, he came up through the ranks with Tullamore and through them great days with Offaly. So, the Offaly is in his blood. Like, he just loves it. So I think, and it's all positive with Kevin Martin. Like, he doesn't focus on their small numbers or their smaller amount of clubs, maybe the bigger counties, their competition with football, maybe within Offaly. He's always about the positive and trying to get the best out of them. So I wouldn't worry about it. It's going to be very harsh for him to get relegated. Now, I think in my own opinion, there'll be too much. The hurling world are not happy with this relegation in Leinster, no matter where you're from. So I predict that will change anyway, whether that's a playoff between the Joe McDonagh Cup winners and the relegation, the guys that get relegated, or else just a straight six-team Leinster championship. Something
should
will
have changed,
happen,
though,
I think,
Tommy,
there.
Because ultimately, listen, relegation happens in pretty much every sport. And Offaly were beaten by, 24 points last time out against Wexford? If they're not good enough to compete, if they're not good enough to win a game during a championship, well, give somebody else a chance.
Yeah, but what would you say about who comes last in Munster then?
Maybe that's the bigger standards, issue. Isn't it? It's total, I mean, there's no way in the world of God they'd ever bring this in a Munster, Tommy.
Yeah, you see, now listen, I can understand both. Like, what no one factored in was how well Offaly were going to hurl in the league, we'll say. But you see, you have to, like, you don't realise it until you actually go to these places. Like, so you see what hurling means to them. Like, and if, like, listen, it mightn't be for the greater good of the Leinster Championship that a team is getting beaten, but like, if that's what drives on them Offaly people, well then listen, they've done everything they can since for many, many years to deserve a chance to do this. And now the only thing I would say is, like, I'm from a club, Tullerone. We were relegated, a proud senior club. We were relegated in 2014, and it was one of the, you know, dark days for the club. But we were only winning one match a year. And, you know, gee, we don't want to go down. Tough old winter after. But since we've been down, we haven't been lucky enough to win it and come back up. But hurling is blossoming again because we're going out against teams that are the same kind of calibre of ourselves. So we're winning more matches, I suppose, than we're losing. So that drives on, guys. Like, I know some people mightn't agree with what I say, but winning is so important. Because I know it's all about, you know, getting people games and everyone getting a chance. But I rate winning so high in that list of satisfaction and enjoyment of the game. Because no one likes losing, no matter what you're doing. So, yeah, there's points for you could kind of make an argument for both sides, really, Nate. And maybe like the Joe McDonagh Cup champions, they might like to hear this. But maybe if they do the same thing, if Kerry win, they have to have a playoff, I think it is, with the Munster team. Well, let's have the winners of the Joe McDonagh maybe having a playoff with whoever gets relegated out of the Leinster Championship. Maybe that would be fair. I don't know, you know.
Yeah. Johnny's keen to talk Galway. They take on Wexford at Wexford Park, 5 o'clock on Saturday evening. Both these sides have won their opening two games. An awful lot of compliments coming in for Galway with the manner that they beat Kilkenny last weekend, that it was, dare I say it, almost a Kilkenny-esque performance with the efficiency they showed. You were at the game with time to think about it, look back. What have Galway changed from the team that won the All-Ireland last year?
I'd say their belief has gone up, I'd say, two or three notches, Nathan. Like, they still have the same physique, they still have the same hurlers, they still have the same ability, but they seem to be just saying, listen, this is my time now, this is my land. You're up here in Pier Stadium, there's no one going to boss me around here today. And that's the attitude it looked like for me from the outside. Now, I thought they were brilliant. Like, you know, from, I suppose, my analysis of the game, I don't get too deep into the tactics or the stats as such. I love the fundamentals, the ability to win your own ball, the ability to score, the ability to hook and block, the ability to chase your man when you shouldn't be chasing him, you should be giving up. That's what I kind of, they're my principles, probably from the coaches and managers that have coached and managed me down through the years. That's what I've learned off them. And Galway had all of that last Sunday, and it was a joy to watch him, you know. And, you know, like, even watching the game as a Kilkenny man, like, you know, you have to respect them. Like, they were doing what you wanted. They were aggressive within the rules of the game. They were in front. They were tigerish, but with all the skills of the game, with all the beauty. And I thought, and I said it many times last Sunday, if you're a young player, just, you should watch that match over and over again, because it was what all young players should be, I suppose, striving to be. Now, there's a warning out there, Nathan. That's last Sunday. There's many, many more games, and it's not going to be like that for them all year. I can guarantee you that, sitting here tonight in Tullerone. They're going to be questioned for, in matches for the rest of this championship. Will it be next Saturday night? I reckon there'll be questions asked of them, all right, but there's no kind of, they're not out of chance if they lose. The real one will come, I reckon, in the All-Ireland, say, quarter-final or semi-final, depending on which one they're in. There'll be real questions asked of them then, but because what they could fall into the sense of is, geez, this is actually becoming easy. They'll find out.
How do you balance that out? Because with the exception of Kilkenny, we've seen teams struggle to go back-to-back in the All-Ireland Hurling Championship. So Galway, it's such a long wait. They had such brilliant celebrations at finally winning the Liam McCarthy. It's a different test for Micheál Donoghue to take that confidence that we saw last Sunday that, yes, we are the best players in the country, but also to realise you'd still need the application every... Is there any insight you can give us into what you could actually do to sort of keep the feet on the ground?
Yeah, I would. I'd remind them of the All-Ireland semi-final last year when Conor Whelan got that hook or block on it was either Mickey Call or Brendan Maher. I still haven't found out which of them it was, but he shouldn't have done it. He chased back 40, 50 yards. The one that game was by a point, Joe Canning, in the last few minutes. Joe Canning got a lot of publicity for the last 10 minutes against Galway, but there was one chance where he shoved Austin Gleeson, you know, a great player who have great time for as well, out over the line when it wasn't going well for Joe in the All-Ireland final. And next minute he put a sideline. I think the sideline went over the bar. Like, it's the small things like that turn their season. And that's the reason they won. So if you're from Galway, you'd be just reminding them. And even go back the year before that, when Tipperary put him out of the championship. Remind them of when Tipperary did it to him, when I think it was Larry Corbett scored a winning pint, or was it Pa Burke. So I'd remind them, like, it won't be too hard to go back and find matches where Galway lost when they should have won. So I think Micheál Donoghue, he's very impressive to me anyway for the last 2 years. What I keep hearing off these Galway guys is, it's the next match. See Pádraig Mannion in the paper during the week, and it was still the same kind of thing, good stuff coming out of him. So I think their feet are on the ground anyway so far, and, you know, it'll take a good team to stop them, but there's good teams out there.
What's Wexford Park like from the Galway perspective? They wouldn't be accustomed to playing there at all in Leinster Senior Championship hurling, and I suppose if you look at Galway, they play either in Croke Park or Port Leash or Tullamore, places where they're going to be vastly outnumbered in the partisan home crowd. And as a Galway man, that's something I'd be slightly worried about. It'll be something a little bit new to these lads.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there. It is not Wexford Park they should be afraid of at all. It is the Wexford supporters, because, you know, it'll be like going down into, I don't know, what ground over in
Go on,
England
do it. Call them savages.
But they're so passionate. They're so, but it comes, it's real passion. It comes from a love of their clubs. Like, look at Owl Art of Balla down in Wexford. Like, I don't think they play a whole lot of football. I remember, you know, I used to know Rory Jacob well when I was younger, and, you know, his older brother Mick and his father Mick, like, just steeped in it. These guys live for hurling. That's the way they are down in Wexford. And when you have that kind of an attitude, it radiates from your supporters. Like, you know, I always found there, when the supporters were complacent, you had to, your own supporters, you had to deal less with them. So if I thought, during when we were going well that time, if the supporters were starting to kind of get complacent, I'd be trying to stay away from them, you know, pass myself but walk away. Well, it's the opposite effect as well. If you have your supporters driving you on and saying, listen, bring these Wexford lads down into Wexford Park, we'll show them out in the stands, you show them on the pitch, you know, that'd drive you on. And when Lee Chin or Rory O'Connor scores a point, you'll hear the whole of Wexford. They'll be down in Rosslare and Curraghclough, and they'll be everywhere in Wexford roaring them on. And that's a dangerous, dangerous thing. And like, I suppose I've spoken about it a little bit at the start of the round robin series. How good is this home and away record? What way is that going to pan out? Well, if I was to pick, I'd say the most dangerous home ground to go to, I would say Wexford Park, because it'll be worth 5-6 points to that Wexford team. But the key thing will, they'll have to kind of have a good start, give them something to shout about. If Galway get a good start, you know, it might quieten them straight away. So Wexford and Davey, you know, Davey, he won't be quite in that dressing room coming out, so they'll be ready, I'd say, for the first few minutes.
We got to go, Tommy, but a couple of quick things. A text in from Dave in Kildare. Tommy, I'm out walking the dog here. Started out casually, but I'm frothing now and shouldering all before me, raring to go, says Dave in Kildare. And at the Hurling Show, back tomorrow on all our social channels with Shane Stapleton from 12:30, the very best analysis around. And they've been running a poll, Tommy, and Shane has asked me to get the definitive answer. So after Anthony Nash's incredible save against Bubbles last weekend, got us wondering ahead of the Hurling Show tomorrow, who's the best goalkeeper in the game right now? They're running a poll. The nominees: Owen Murphy, Stephen O'Keefe, Anthony Nash, or Colm Callanan.
Yeah, it's Nash sure is just has Everton. Owen Murphy has Everton.
Get off the fence, Tommy. Listen,
I won't sit in the fence on this. I'd say Murphy.
Whoa, he's sticking with his own.
Yeah, well, I've seen him, and I've marked him even out the field there this year in the club, and he just has it all. And there's not much between the two of them now. I won't lie to you, but this guy's a small lad. He's probably smaller than Nash, but he's able to jump up and catch puck outs over the crossbar. He did it against Waterford there a few years ago, and Murphy, but with experience.
What characteristics do you look for in a goalkeeper behind you? What are the characteristics that define their greatness?
The first thing would be safety. That when that ball, high ball goes in, that, you know, 9.9 times out of 10, they're going to catch the ball or make it safe. After that, I think to be able to stop the ball one-on-one is crucial. Like Brendan Cummins was unbelievable at it. I'd say the best goalie I ever seen really was Damien Fitzhenry from Wexford. I played, we play a cancer match every year. Jim Bulger, the Wexford man there, he's the horses in Kilkenny up in Muckalee. He runs, himself and Davey Russell, a charity match for cancer every year. And I've played with Fitzhenry, and I played Railway Cup with him as well. That man is just incredible, and he's getting better with age. So, and he was brilliant at the one-on-ones and diving to the top corners and that. So, yeah, I'd say safety first, then one-on-ones.
That's one little worry.
Nash is the best puck out in the game. I will definitely say that about him.
That's one little worry I'd have for Galway, because I think Callanan was a very he was a cooling influence on them. He's the only player on the team on the panel that's older than me, actually, and that's showing how old he is. And Scahill came back in, and Scahill will be a bit of a character now. So that'll be a slight worry for me in Galway. I just think that there was a more steadying influence when Callanan was on the team.
Tommy,
I saw Scahill. I played with him out in Chicago in the Super 11s there in 13.
I'd say you get on well together, do you?
We actually did. We used to myself, Aidan Hart, and himself, and we used to sit. We got on well. It was great crack. The bus wasn't quite, I'll put it that way.
Some horse of a man, as they say.
Yeah,
exactly.
Tough man.
Jon Snow is back beside you again. Is that just any particular reason? Somebody's going to die this weekend?
Well, he's there because I predicted it at the start that this championship would be like the Game of Thrones, Nathan, and it's proven to be. We'll see that with Cork and Limerick again next week. Big Gun being beaten. Tipperary and Cork drawn last weekend, Kilkenny getting beaten. So I just put that up to remind our viewers that sometimes my predictions do go well, but more importantly, you see them clocks behind me.
Yeah, go
on.
I was going
to ask you about the clocks.
Bring back the tournaments. The tournaments have to come back for club hurlers because see the one up in there, I think it's on your left, the goalie type of one?
Yeah.
Mm. That was the Three Castles tournament 1988.
Does it have any hands though? It doesn't seem to be in functioning order.
No, it's not because...
1988 it was won in.
1988.
30 years ago. Won it
20 years ago. And the one beside it is 1992, Nathan. Three Castles are a junior club here in Kilkenny, but they had brilliant tournaments back then. And I think it's up to the clubs now. There's no club action really going on at the moment. Bring back the tournaments, Nathan, because...
What do you mean by a tournament? Get together over a weekend and go travelling?
Exactly. So we'll say the likes of maybe Thurles Sarsfields are bringing three or four teams from Kilkenny, three or four teams from Cork, or three or four teams from Wexford. And you have a tournament there with, you know, 11 or 12 teams. I know Johnstown, JJ Delaney's club, PJ Ryan's club below... about 10 miles over the road. They have a brilliant tournament coming up there. There's a few neighbouring clubs and we're all looking forward to it. We need these kind of tournaments to bring back the, I suppose, the meaningful games for the clubs. So, like, the reason that we didn't throw them out is because we remember them Three Castles tournaments. This is, what, how many years ago? I wasn't great at the maths in school. But
30 years ago.
Yeah.
26 yeah, years ago and 30 years ago.
I still
ago.
Remember them as a young fella. And yeah. Going over there, there used to be kind of fields with the cows and the cattle in the back, and the, you know, they'd be out grazing even during the winter. It's gone a long ways from there now, but they were great tournaments.
I can just imagine
maybe
the,
we have to get them back.
The Tommy Walsh kind of clocks, you know, going for sale on a big auction on eBay.
I can see it. Well, all I'm thinking is Tommy wants the tournaments back Saturday and Sunday, night away with the lads, has to be done, representing the club.
Preferably scale.
Tommy, great stuff as always. We will chat to you next week, no doubt.
Thanks, lads. Best of luck.
GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.